91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem. You are, of course, listening to the Fritz Rock Show. I'm AJ Fritz. We just heard a bunch of live stuff from the new Pat Travers album called Stick With What You Know. What you just heard was Born Under a Bad Sign. Before that, Boom Boom, Out Go the Lights, Snorting Whiskey. And we also gave you P.T. Nuts, also known as Linus and Lucy. I just love what Pat does with that. And we gave you some studio stuff, too. Kicked off that set with Something's Gotta Give from PT equals MC squared, and started that set way back there with Hammerhead, for all you Hammerheads out there. And we have the true Hammerhead with us today. We're talking about the one and only guitar legend, Mr. Pat Travers. Pat, you there?
Hey, yes, I am. And I was listening to your choice of material, and I'm really glad you played something from PT equals MC squared. I think that was a great album that just somehow or another got left by the wayside, and there's some great songs on there, and especially that one, Something's Gotta Give. That was a good one.
That's a nice little rockin' ditty, isn't it, Pat?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I sort of based that on my a friend of mine, my karate instructor, my sensei. And so that's cool. I have to tell him that.
We'll talk a little bit about that as well. In fact, I wanted to talk to you about the PT equals MC squared as well. But first, I want to talk to you about the brand new live album that you got. All right,
uh-huh.
Now 79, you know, you did, Go With What You Know, or
yep.
go For What You Know in 79. Now it's 2008, and it's Stick With What You Know. And obviously you did on this record, man. Great stuff, Pat. It's an absolutely smoking live album, man.
Yeah, I thought that, one thing that... The reason I think why a lot of people like the first live album, the Go For What You Know, was it had, you know, urgency and energy, and it jumped out of the grooves, and it was, you know, right in your face. And I found when we went to mix this one that it had that same quality, and, you know, so I thought it was worthy of being a sequel to Go For What You Know, hence the... Where I used a lot of brain power to come up with the title, Stick With What You Know. And also, in a way, I was kind of, the anticipation was that I would put out this live album, and originally it was specifically for Europe. That's why there's a lot of blues tunes on there.
Okay.
And but then my record company, Provogue, in Holland, he's now branched into the U.S., so... He released it over here as well, so we're now promoting it again here, which is fun. And, but as I was going to say, we put out the live album and then hoping that, you know, that would occupy or at least keep us visible while I worked on a new studio album, and that did happen. So, we over the summer were able to... spend quite a bit of time working on a brand new studio album, which will come out next year. So this is working out really good for us.
Okay, so it was released in Europe last year then?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now being released in the States, I wanted to ask you, how did the whole deal with you and Provogue come to be? Have you been, is this the first record with them?
We go back a long way. Okay. Actually, I did a lot of these so-called blues albums for a guy named Mike Varney, who... out in California has a label called Blues Bureau International.
Yeah, well, we're very familiar with that label because we have some of your stuff here.
Right, and so Mike Varney had a deal with Provogue in Europe to be the distributor for all the Blues Bureau stuff.
Oh, that's great.
So the owner of that company, a gentleman named Ed Van Sile, is a great guy, and we get along really well, So, you know, he was the one who came up with the idea of doing the live album and putting it out in Europe. So, because our plan has also been to rebuild our fan base and everything in Europe. And so we've been going, we were just there all of October. So.
And how was it over there?
That's great. I mean, you know, all the shows were really good. We got a strong fan base and... you know, it's and the weather was beautiful. We got really lucky, and you know, it's the same situation over there as it is over here, regards to the economy and everything. They got all the same problems. It's not much different, except they're paying $7 and $8 a gallon
of gas.
You know.
Yeah, and we're crying over here at 3 and 4. You know.
Exactly.
Well, which is now down a little bit.
I know. I paid. Well, we were up in Michigan last week, and we had to fill up, and it was under $2. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Yeah, we're getting that. We're getting close to that here somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We're at about $2.12 right now. You know. But so the album was actually recorded live in 2007, released in Europe first, now released over here, and it's giving you a little bit of time to complete a studio album, which is good because I was going to ask you if there's another studio album coming out, man.
This one is the best one that I've ever done.
Now, don't say that yet.
It's going to broaden our fan base because it's got everything that all my old fans like, lots of guitar, lots of vocals and power, but the songs have a lot of substance, and we're very confident that this will finally, after all this time, will be the CD that'll put me where I would like to be.
Well, now, you're saying that this may be the best. You know, I wanted to talk to you when MC Squared came out.
Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another, we didn't get together. But
right.
when we got the record and we heard it here, and I listened to the whole album completely through probably about 3 or 4 times, just over and over again, and I was completely blown away.
Yeah.
And I felt at that time when I heard that record, I wanted to let you know personally that I thought that this was, at this time, the best work as far as your vocals, your guitar, and your songwriting. The best I had ever heard from you through your whole catalog, and it's a huge catalog, Pat.
Yeah.
And now you're saying that the next one is going to be even better than MC Squared.
Oh, yeah. Well, I learned a lot doing the MC Squared album, and but I'm just also, I have a much better group of people that I'm playing with, you know, and Kirk McKim, who's on guitar with me, he had yet to join the band at that point, but his input and the way we work together, especially on, you know, over the live album, and we've been playing together now for 3 years, so, you know, we do the, as Keith Richard calls it, the weaving, you know.
Ah, yes.
Guitar weaving, and we don't even really have to...
have to try at it.
We don't have to talk about it.
It
just happens. We just naturally go for complementary parts, and then sometimes we just play in unison, too. You know, we just play the same thing, and it sounds so big and fat.
I wanted to mention that on this record, that, I mean, the guitars, for any guitar fan and then any Pat Travers fan, this live album really lets you stretch a little bit, and it's really great to hear that second guitar with you. And
Well, you know, I, all along, going way back, I always wrote my material with two guitar parts in mind.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to find somebody that you can get along with and play with and has a complementary style. And
sure.
I was lucky to meet Kirk about 5 years ago, and also he's like 10 years younger than me, so he was a huge fan, and he took lessons from Paul Gilbert.
Oh, wow.
Who's also a big fan, and sometimes their lessons would just amount to just listening to my old live album. So Kirk was very familiar with my material, and you know, he's just a super guy from Houston, Texas, and then my drummer Sean Shannon, who's actually played with me years ago, and back in '96 through about 2000. And then we have a guy, his name is Rodney O'Quinn, who's been playing bass with us for almost a year, and he's just the final piece of the jigsaw, and it's just everybody, you know, we did 3 shows last weekend, and every show just sounded wow.
Oh, man.
Man, this sounds so good.
I can't wait to hear it, because a live album, it just jumps right out at you from the beginning, and quite a great set list as far as, you know, spanning parts of your career as far as what you put in here. You know?
I wanted to try and put a little bit of everything in there. And then, as I said, you know, we put some of the bluesier stuff, the Hendrix Red House, Robert Johnson, If I had possession. And then Pretty Woman by Albert King. And because, you know, originally I thought the album was going to be mostly just a European release, and they love the blues over there.
So. Yeah.
But they seem to love the blues over here, too, because, you know, we play those songs live, and I half expect some eyes to glaze over, but they don't. Everybody really enjoys it, you know.
Oh, but, you know, you can never go wrong with some standard blues tunes that we all know and love, you know, because it gave birth to this thing we call rock and roll anyway, you know.
Right.
So it all fits together. I was also really glad to see that there are a couple of cuts on this new live album called Stick With What You Know, Live in Europe, that you took from your last studio album. You've got Elijah on here, written, I guess, for your son.
Yeah.
And I don't care. And Linus and Lucy, too.
Well, I don't care. I always thought it was a great... I actually did that song for the first time
with
Carmine Appice.
Yeah.
You know?
I still play it.
And I just never felt that any of the recorded versions really hit it yet. So now when we do it live, it's definitely got more impact. So, you know, there's a possibility that somewhere down the road I may re-record it again.
Wow, you really love that tone, eh?
And put it on some kind of a specialty album, because at this point I have some bits and pieces.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking of putting together a CD that we will just, you know, make available at our shows, and it's going to have snippets of this and that and different versions of different songs and stuff that I might not be, you know, quite wanting to put on a general release CD. So we're going to be doing that in December, and hopefully next year we'll have that available for purchase at all of our live shows.
At the live shows only.
And maybe on a website.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. And how's the tour going for you right now?
Great. You know, because I like it, because we do like three shows in the weekend, or maybe four, and then I come home for 3 days and get to spend a lot of time with my family and my wife and my kids and our dogs, and enjoy the fact that I live in Florida, especially this time of year.
Yeah, all right.
You know.
Yeah, I bet, man.
I really get to appreciate it, because, you know, I come from... Sunday I was in Chicago and it was about 31 degrees and just gloomy, and, you know, I get back down here and it's very nice.
So. Well, you know, you grew up, you know, in the cold weather. You're a Canadian boy.
I hated it my whole life. I never liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never... cold feet. I always remember having cold feet.
Well, you certainly don't have that on stage, my friend.
No, I got over that. You know, when I'm on stage, that's where I feel the most comfortable and the most... in control of, you know, whatever, because, I quip that, you know, we don't get paid to play, we get paid to travel.
Yeah.
And we're working cheap.
And you're working cheap, exactly. You know, you did the Power Trio thing in the studio, and, by the way, I love those records, too.
Yeah.
Both of those.
We did the first one with Ainsley Dunbar.
With Ainsley,
And he just played. I've worked with Ainsley several times before, and on that particular one, he was just, he ruled, he rocked. And
yeah, he ripped it up.
Legend, you know.
Oh, no doubt about it. Now, when you do the Power Trio thing, now, when you go out live, Pat, is it always two guitars, or have you've done tours without a second guitar?
Oh, yeah, I was, I started out as a trio in England.
Yeah.
And then shortly after coming to the U.S. in 1978 and touring for 3 or 4 months, that's when I met Pat Thrall. I was anxious to have him join the band, which he did. And then I went back to three-piece when everybody went their own way, and was three-piece for a long time. And then I had a guy named Jerry Riggs from Georgia. He's from Knoxville, Tennessee. And he played with me for a long time. My gosh, about 10 years, I guess. And then I decided to go three-piece again. But when I met Kirk in, you know, it was just this instant chemistry, and it sounded so much better, and I really couldn't conceive of going out as a trio again, you know.
Yeah.
It just sounds too good with him playing. Even to the fact that last week I had a solo show, which was supposed to be just like an acoustic thing, downtown here in Orlando, and I asked Kirk to come with me, and we turned it into this acoustic electric thing that just sounded wonderful.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, that gives you a little bit of freedom, too, and it's a bit of a change,
too. Maybe we'll do that. We'll record that. I hadn't thought of that. We'll do a couple of shows and come up with some goofy name. And
yeah, throw it on tape.
Hear that, too.
Yeah, throw it on tape, because many players have done that already, and for some it works.
You know, because we mix the electric and the acoustic together, and it definitely has it. It was way bigger than I thought it was going to be, and the vocals we sing together are really great.
Well, then maybe the next time you guys are together, you should turn on that tape machine.
Yeah, I think we will. I think that's what we're going to do.
Oh, very good, man. And now I wanted to ask you about this. You mentioned your sensei.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that I've been listening to you for many, many years, and I believe that you're playing better than ever. Your voice sounds amazing. You're obviously in great health.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, how long have you been a martial artist, and how does that discipline help you in your writing and your playing?
There's no downside to martial arts, especially if you have a great sensei like I'm fortunate to have. He's a seventh degree black belt in Ishinryu, which is Okinawan karate, and it's pretty tough stuff. And I met him just about 4.5 years ago, and I've come along pretty quickly. I got my black belt 2 years ago, so I'm due now to get my second degree black belt, and I'm a sensei myself. I teach classes too. And the thing with it is, you know, it's mental as well as a lot of physical workout, because you have to learn these forms, which we call katas. Yeah. And, you know, they take a lot of memory, and everything has to be very precise, and you can work on them basically your whole life. Like, I did my workout this morning, and I was going, hey, this is so cool that I'm able to do this stuff. And, you know, we also have some weapons, and by weapons, I just mean the bow staff.
Okay.
And these things called sais, which are the little stabbing things. They're not knives. They have their rounded. They're like a steel that you use to sharpen knives with,
mm-hmm.
and they have handles on them. You can spin them and block with them and stab and do all this. But you know, it's just for the training, and you know, you have to learn to ignore pain, and because we do all of our push-ups are just done on two knuckles. And the first time you do that, especially in a hot Florida summer day out in the parking lot when it's about 120 degrees and you have to do sets of 50.
Oh, man.
And the first one hurts and the last one hurts and all the ones in between. But so you learn to ignore that. And I think by doing that and learning to focus, that's what helps me with my playing and my singing. Is because I'm stronger, I'm able to control my body more, I have more stamina, and my focus is a lot sharper. So, you know, I'm not distracted by other things around me, and you just concentrate on that one goal, you know, that you're trying to do, and so it's all good.
Yeah, it is all good, and obviously it's helped in some way. Because
it helps in a lot of ways. I'm a stronger player. I've got you know, my hands are stronger. I'm just faster. I feel more confident in myself. I mean, it gives you confidence, and you know, it gets rid of some of your fears, and you don't tend to get as bowed up or as confrontational with people.
Yeah,
you know.
And you can hear it on the records too, Pat. Not to say that what you haven't done in the past wasn't any good. It was all great stuff. But yeah.
But
in the last couple of years, I can definitely hear.
Yeah. Well, and you will when you finally get a chance to hear the CD we did over the summer. You're going to hear this is the cumulation of. Okay, guys, that's enough. The cumulation of. All of my years of musical experience and now my 4.5 years of physical training and martial arts training, which has just helped me to focus and be stronger, you know.
Excellent. Now, the new album on Pro Vogue Records, it's called Pat Travers, Stick With What You Know, Live in Europe. Is it available as an import or is it available domestically
now? No, it's available
now?
In the U.S. now.
All right. Very good.
I'm not sure which stores, but... I guess you could just go to Pro Vogue or type in Pro Vogue or even go to Amazon or whatever, but it must be available in some stores. I've been a little busy, so I haven't, really been able to I was out of the country. I was working on the album, and then we're just touring now, so I haven't really been able to pay too much attention to where it's available, but I would like to find out myself.
Well, we did call our local CD shop here 2 weeks ago. Oh, actually, last week it was when we got the record and we started playing it. And they can get it. So it is available. I just wanted to find out if it was strictly import and still available.
No, it's pressed
here
too. It's a U.S. release.
Excellent, man. Yeah. Excellent. And now this is your first appearance at the Sellersville Theater. You haven't seen this room yet.
Is it nice?
Yeah, you're going to love it, Pat.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
oh, it's
a long, narrow theater.
Uh-huh.
Seats a little over 300,
yeah.
And it's got a beautiful acoustic tone to it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to that because, the playing part is the best part of the day.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
And I believe this is your first appearance in this area. This is about... I'd say about 20 miles south of the Lehigh Valley, which is Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton area. Lehigh Valley, it's called. And
how far from Philadelphia?
It's about, I'd say, about 35 miles
outside of Philly. Okay, good. Yeah, because we're flying into Philly. So.
Yeah, it's not too far from Philly. And
Great. So
we're really looking forward to seeing you on...
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. It makes me feel great, and I look forward to seeing everybody and... seeing you as well.
Yeah, I will definitely stop by to say hello at the show.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow night at the show. And once again, thank you, Pat, for taking the time to talk to me today.
My pleasure.
And we'll say hello at the show, all right?
All right, AJ. Cheers.
All right, man. Thank you, and take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.